You should recognize the guy in the middle, a friend of the program, Tony Pauline, NFL draft analyst and draftanalyst.com. Check out his work. He does a fantastic job. Tony joins us every year to get ready for the draft. Tony, first things first, anybody jump out to you in the last couple days in terms of what's going on with measurements?
I think Lamar Jackson, 6'2 and change, 216 pounds. People were very concerned about his frame. Is he going to be able to hold up at the next level? I think he's heading in the right direction. I like Lamar Jackson, the quarterback from Louisville. Needs some work on his game, but I think he's over one hump in the sense that 216 pounds, people can't complain that he's real thin now. Now he's just going to go out and throw the ball well.
If the Giants don't go QB in the first round, is that a realistic second-round option? Do you think someone's going to trade up to get him before the Giants go at 34?
I think there are teams late in round one, say if the Buffalo Bills can't move up and get a quarterback, they could take him. They got two picks back-to-back, 20 and 21. If the Minnesota Vikings don't get Kirk Cousins, they could also select him. So I think it would be a reach for him to get to the Giants in round two.
You know, we talk often about the four elite. Jackson's the number five, right, kind of a little separate from the other four elite quarterbacks. Will any of those four guys do something at this combine that's going to force them to either move ahead of the other three or behind the other three?
First thing is, I don't consider Baker Mayfield part of the elite quarterbacks. I have three elite quarterbacks, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold. I think Baker Mayfield, he's a good quarterback, but I think there's a lot of hype. Now, to answer your question, Josh Allen has to throw with accuracy. If Josh Allen is missing receivers wide and high and having his balls go all over the place, he's going to fall. If he's accurate in a combine, which is a strange setting where he's throwing to strange receivers, and he looks good, he's going to move to the front. Same thing with Sam Darnold. He's got to be accurate with his passes because Sam Darnold, you know, sometimes he drops those balls in unbelievably like a magician. Other times, the passes, you don't know where they're going. So he's got to be accurate. With Josh Rosen, I think it's more of a situation that we may not know for a while because it's going to be the interviews and it's going to be the medicals. So if Josh Rosen is expected to throw well. But if his medicals come back and there's some red flags, we may find out a week or two down the road that he's going to drop down boards. I think with Baker Mayfield, he's got to show some arm strength. Baker Mayfield does not have a strong arm. It doesn't have a strong arm on film. If you're at the Senior Bowl, his deep passes die in the wind,
and
the receivers are slowing up to wait for the ball to get to him. You can do that on Saturday. You can't do that on Sunday.
Interesting. So you think mostly arm strength is your concern with Mayfield more so than in his height, say?
Well, I mean, there are some good short quarterbacks, but, you know, you can't be short and not have a good arm. You know, you can't be short and be an undisciplined pocket passer. You know, my concern with Baker Mayfield, ironically, are some of the same concerns I had with Johnny Manziel. Baker Mayfield was an electrifying quarterback on Saturday. I just don't know that he's going to be able to do the same thing on Sunday that he did on Saturday. Is he going to be able to thread the needle on Sunday the way he did it on Saturday? I have my concerns about that. The deep ball, is he going to be able to play in a disciplined pocket, you know, on Sunday rather than run around like a chicken with no head the way he did on Saturday and basically improvise? Listen, I like Baker Mayfield. I hope the best for him. You're basically trying to project this at the next level, and I think there's a lot of hype around Baker Mayfield. You know, he may be a very good quarterback, but I think there are a lot of red flags, as there are with the top three guys.
Tony, I'm going to make an assumption here based on what you've already said. And look, I have heard enough because I'm not for the Giants taking a quarterback at the number two overall pick. Dave Gettleman and Pat Shermer have said, if you've got a guy who's a guaranteed franchise guy for the next 10 years, you got to take him. But there are a bunch of people, and I think you might be one of them, who says, you know what, that guy doesn't exist in this draft.
Absolutely. Let's look at it two ways. Number one, all of these quarterbacks have great upside. They have the potential to develop into very productive quarterbacks at the next level, but they have an equal amount of downside. Rosen, you got the personality issues, you got the medicals. Josh Allen, you got the accuracy issues. Sam Darnold is a long time away from being NFL ready. Baker Mayfield may not just have the next level arm. The fact of the matter is I was more excited about the quarterback class in September of 2017 than I am in March of 2018.
Interesting.
Because I don't think that the quarterbacks really improved. You expect a level of improvement in a prospect's game. We didn't really see that improvement in any of the quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield improved with production, but he's got some physical skills and some physical deficiencies, which are impossible to get over. So you're absolutely right. Now, the thing I will say about the Giants is, if they like Josh Allen, I think the Giants have two key elements that Josh Allen needs: time and a very good quarterback coach. You know, if the Giants draft Josh Allen at two, they're not going to ask him to play right away, so he can learn behind Eli Manning. I think Pat Shermer is an excellent quarterback coach. So, and that's what Josh Allen needs. So if they, you know, go with a quarterback, they like Josh Allen, I think they have the ingredients that could potentially turn Josh Allen to a good QB.
I want to follow up one more here, John. I think last year when we talked to you and I said I think Davis Webb would be a good fit for the Giants, I think you actually agreed with me. Your thoughts on what Webb may or may not have been able to do under the past regime during that year under Eli, and what maybe Shurmur could do with him now?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. It's a matter of getting him some game time experience, game time playing experience. You know, the fact is he's got a lot of physical skills. He's got to develop into a quarterback. He was never a winner, but the fact is you got to assume he's ahead of the curve, sitting behind Eli Manning right. For basically most of the year, learning and basically going through a very difficult year. I think that, and you make a good point. I mean, if they feel they've got their potential quarterback down the road, 3, 4, 5 years down the road in Davis Webb, there's no reason to use an early pick on a quarterback in this year's draft. So he has the physical skills. I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't really get much playing time last year. He really didn't play at all.
I think everybody feels
right,
that way.
But you know, it is what it is. The teams want to win, and they're going to put the guy in the center who's going to win. They feel can win games for him.
Before we dive a little bit deeper into some of the mid and late round guys, Tony, if they don't go quarterback there, are you a Barkley guy? Are you a Chubb guy? Minkah Fitzpatrick, Quentin Nelson? What do you think? Let me put it this way, because this is the way Gettleman and Shurmur put it yesterday. Which one of those other guys on the board has the best chance to be a generational Hall of Fame level player, or do none of them have that chance?
To answer that question, the answer would be Saquon Barkley. He's a three-down back. He can take it on the inside. He has the power on the inside. He's got the shiftiness to make the defenders miss. He's got the speed and the quickness to turn the perimeter. He can run the daylight. He can run away from defensive players. He's a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield, and he's also a good return specialist. So I think he is a three-down player. I tend to lean towards defensive players because a really good defensive end like Bradley Chubb is going to have much greater impact than a running back than Saquon Barkley. And I think Bradley Chubb is he a defensive end in a 4-3? Is he going to develop into a two-gap end? Doesn't matter. He makes plays. He makes a lot of plays up the field. Bottom line is Giants can't go wrong with either guy.
Okay, cool.
All right, so as we look at these guys at the running back positions, I think part of this is interesting before we get onto the defensive side of the ball. If you don't go Barkley, how big of a drop-off is it to that next group of guys, the Ronald Jones, the Darius Geises, the two kids out of Georgia, Chubb and Michelle? How big of a drop is that from Barkley to that next group?
It's significant in the sense that I think those guys have more question marks than Barkley, and I think that Barkley is going to be a feature runner early in his career where those guys may take some time. Now, Sonny Michel's quicker than Barkley. He's got more elusiveness than Barkley. He probably has a better burst than Barkley. Darius Geis, he also has a bit more elusiveness than Barkley. When I say elusiveness, I mean the ability to create yardage. Also a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield. I just think that right now, when you're comparing that, to answer your question, Barkley's the more complete package. Those guys have a way to go to show that they can be the complete package.
But it wouldn't shock you if one or two of that second group could develop into a running back of Barkley's level.
Yeah, close to it.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be Barkley's level.
Of course.
It could be a starter.
Sure.
You know, Geis can be a starter at the next level. Sonny Michel could be a starter at the next level. Nick Chubb, in the right system from Georgia, could be a starter at the next level. Kerryon Johnson of Auburn could be a starter at the next level. Ronald Jones in a specific system. He's not a bigger guy, but he's got great speed. I like Royce Freeman, although he's not a back for everyone. He's a bigger back. So there are a lot of potential feature running backs in this year's draft that you can get in the second, potentially third round. I don't think any of them are going to develop into the ilk of Saquon Barkley, but I could be wrong. We'll see.
I got a general question for you, Tony. We haven't asked this of any of our guests so far, so you're going to be the first.
Uh-oh.
If the Giants were to get, let's say, three additional picks somewhere in the first four or five rounds by trading away the number two and moving down, let's say, six, seven, eight, nine slots, is there enough talent in this draft that there are 3 to 4 rounds of immediate guys who can give you at least rotational snaps that it would be worth it for them to do it?
At certain positions, yes. Other positions, no. I mean, it's a good tight end class. It's a good running back class. It's a good pass rusher class. You've got some depth at the cornerback position. It's a terrible safety class. I'm not a big fan of the offensive tackle class because I like left tackles. There aren't too many left tackles here. It's a very thin center class. The guard class is good at the top, and then it kind of falls off. So, yeah, I mean, if they're targeting players at certain positions, there's going to be depth there at those positions.
Where are you going to find depth on the defensive line? Dave Gettleman has always been someone that likes to stack up those defensive lineman in the early and middle rounds of the draft?
Outside. Your defensive tackles is very thin. Maurice Hurst, it kind of thins out after that. Defensive end, you got Chubb. Broward's kind of up and down, the kid from Ohio State, but he's shown the ability to impact games in the playoffs. Marcus Davenport, you'll be able to get good defensive ends literally through the second round.
We have talked a lot about James Betcher coming in as the new defensive coordinator. He likes to run a hybrid scheme and a lot of fluidity between the linebackers and the safeties. Are there linebackers that you like for them maybe in day two that would really be a good fit?
Oren Burks, a kid to remember from Vanderbilt. A little bit smaller, 6'2", 230 pounds, played some safety at Vanderbilt, moved to outside linebacker. He's a guy that, he's more of a run-and-chase pursuit linebacker. You're not going to use him to blitz, but if you want him to play in space, you want him to run down, the Thomas Brown type of linebacker. I mean, he is that type of guy that you're going to be able to get in the third day of the draft that I think will help as a situational linebacker, also help out on special teams.
How about the corner class? Not a lot of size in the corner class, but a lot of guys between 5'10 and 6'. Are these guys that you think you can play outside in the NFL, or are you going to have to pigeonhole them into the slot a lot of them?
No, I think most of them, because, they may be 5'10", 5'11", but they're tough. Josh Jackson, he's a tough player. Carlton Davis of Auburn, a very tough player. You'll get some guys in the second round that, they may be 5'10", 5'11", but they play over 6'. None of these guys are shy away from contact. They will mix it up. They'll jam the guys at the line of scrimmage. They'll mix it up throughout the route. So, the height is more of a mismatch issue, especially, but if you got to see what their arm length is, because if the guy's, 5'10" and he's got 33, 34-inch arms, well, that's going to make up for the 2 inches of height that he doesn't have.
Now, Tony, I have so much respect for you. I'm going to test you with a really, really tough one. Third day, Giants look for somebody who's going to be a dynamic kick returner because they've had trouble returning kicks. Who would that guy be?
If he falls into the third day, Nyheim Hines of North Carolina State.
See, this is why he's the best.
Uh-oh. Make the big bucks, right? He's a hybrid running back, receiver, dynamic kick returner. He's a guy that North Carolina State used all over the field. I do know that the Giants spoke with him. The Giants have some interest in him, as do the Philadelphia Eagles. But he's a guy who will just turn the game around with huge kick returns. I mean, that's his game. The other guy to remember is Quadri Henderson of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
More of a receiver, but a guy who is a game-changing punt returner and kick returner. He's like a fifth round. The thing with Himes is Himes could go third round because you could use him as a running back, as a third down back, toss sweeps, get him the ball in space. You can use him at receiver, and he's a good return specialist. Quadri Henderson is a average receiver who's going to make his money at the next level returning kicks and punts. So Henderson, if he's there late, is another name to remember.
We touched on the O-line class. You said you didn't like the tackle class, and the guard class kind of drops off after that, end of the first round, start of the second round. Dave Gettleman has picked a lot of offensive linemen in the third, fourth round and developed them. Even Andrew Norwell's an undrafted free agent. What guys do you like that maybe some people are sleeping on at O-line that could be a round three, round four, round five selection that could develop into a player?
Keep an eye on Braden Smith of Auburn if he gets out of the second round. He's a guy who played tackle. He's a guy who played guard, who's supposed to go to the Senior Bowl, didn't go. He is a really, I think, a Gettleman Giants type of offensive lineman, a big, tough, slug-it-out guy. He's got tackle size. He's a smart lineman. He plays to his size. I think he has all the ingredients from, going back to the days of Bill Parcells, those type of offensive linemen that we saw with the Giants.
The suburbanites.
And Braden Smith, I think, would be an outstanding pick for the Giants if he gets out of round two.
I'm asking this question, but go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
You know who I'm going to ask about. So, Will Hernandez. I love the guy.
Yeah, but he's not going to get out of round one.
Get out of round one?
I think what's going to happen is the Jacksonville Jaguars could take him late in round one.
Yeah, Tom would love him. You know that.
I'll tell you what. In my mock draft, I actually had the Giants taking Connor Williams of Texas in round two.
Wow, dropping that far, huh?
Well, he was never really expected to go that high. I think that was people were way off on him. Now, the thing with Williams is he played left tackle, but he did an okay job with it. A lot of people project him inside the guard. Came in at 6'5", 33-inch arms. I think they have to interview him. They have to see if he's got that fire. He has the physical skills. He's built like an offensive lineman, NFL offensive lineman, except he's got shorter arms. Does he have the fire? If he has the fire and he's there in round two, that could be a great bargain for the Giants, who could play him at guard, maybe even try him out at left tackle.
Well, there are some people who are even thinking that maybe Quentin Nelson could be a potential top five pick for the Giants in the first round, which would probably preclude them from taking someone like Hernandez later on. In your mind, is there value in doing that? Dave Gettleman said yesterday, hey, if a guard is really that good, he's worth what anyone will take him for and anyone will pay him for.
I think Nelson's going to be a top six pick. I think the Browns could take him at four. I think the Jets could take him at six. I don't think he gets past Tampa Bay at seven. The Giants at two, you know, I like Gettleman, but if the Giants take him at two, that means they're passing up on Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb.
Right.
And I grade those two players much higher than Quentin Nelson.
Okay.
Of this group of interior offensive linemen, who has the best chance at getting to the Giants at 34? Billy Price, James Daniels, Isaiah Wynn. You already mentioned Will Hernandez, but I'll throw him into the mix as well. Because to me, that's kind of that 20 to 30 group that I think a lot of teams are going to try to focus on in that end of the first round. There might be a little bit of a run there.
I like Billy Price a lot. I think Billy Price is one of the most underrated interior linemen in this year's draft. I think he's a dynamic center. I think he's a guy that's going to go mid to late first round, will go on to be a multiple Pro Bowl performer. I think he's the best offensive interior lineman to come out of Ohio State since Nick Mangold.
Wow.
To answer your question, that guy would be Isaiah Wynn, but I still think Isaiah Wynn could go late first round. Wynn had three great years of film at Georgia, yet coming into his senior year, he was graded as a street free agent by NFL scouts, which shocked me. Played left tackle at Georgia last year, projects to guard, was great throughout the season. If you watch the national championship game, he went head-to-head with Deshaun Hand and won most of those battles during the national championship game. Alabama, Deshaun Hand's going to be a second-round pick. Same thing at the Senior Bowl. He's more of a mobile guy. He's not the mauler, say, Will Hernandez is. He's not the mauler of Billy Price. But he's a guy, if you want to use his own blocking system, you want him to get on the second level, you want him to pull across the line of scrimmage and block in motion, he will do a good job. He's a versatile guy. I like that type of offensive lineman who's very good on their feet, whereas, say, Will Hernandez plays in a phone booth, plays in a small area. Isaiah Wynn's got a lot of upside. And he's the guy that, in the second round, could be there for the Giants. I don't think the other guys will.
Okay.
Final question for me, and this question's for Paul. He thinks the Giants might get really good value trading out of the second pick. He wants to try to pick up one of these tackles to help the Giants at the offensive tackle position. You said you don't see a lot of left tackles in this draft.
No.
You talked about Connor Williams already.
Right.
How about Zeus Brown, Mike McGlinchey? Some people really like Colton Miller out of UCLA.
Rankin.
Some people are like Jamarcus Jones out of Ohio State. Martinez Rankin, another guy. Any of these guys do you think could be a starting left tackle at some point that can pass protect against some of these great rushers, the Khalil Mack, the Von Millers, the Marcus Lawrences?
Mike McGlinchey of Notre Dame is the only guy who I think as a rookie could start at left tackle in the league. And I still have my questions about that. He's maybe the surest thing or the guy with the amount of least downside risk. In my mind, Brown's strictly a right tackle. He's too big. He's too immobile. He can't slide his feet. He did a good job at Oklahoma where he never basically had a tight end at one side. Martinez Rankins is going to be either a center or a guard. He needs a lot of work. He's a very good athlete. He's got good size. Just doesn't get to seam it between the ears. Now, you said Colton Miller. Colton Miller could be a good selection or consideration for them in round two. The thing with Colton Miller is you're going to may have to redshirt him for a year, because he hasn't really played a lot of football. He's got a great body. Same thing with Brian O'Neill at Pittsburgh, you also mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're very athletic. They got NFL bodies, but they're going to need time. And it's a situation where if you draft either of those guys, I think O'Neill's more of a third-round guy for the Giants. Colton Miller could be a second-round guy. If you start them in September, you may not have Eli Manning on the center in October.
That's not a good idea.
Okay. So, if you
that's not part of the plan.
But the thing about, it could be for Dave Gettleman because he's, this is his first year. So he could say, listen, we're going to draft Colton Miller and, we're going to develop him because I'm not really worried about 2018. I'm worried about 2019, 2020, 2021. He's got some time. So if you're looking long term and you really feel you got to come out of this draft with a left tackle because the free agency class is garbage, you could take a Colton Miller in round two. You could take a Brian O'Neill in round three. You just have to realize it may take some time before they're NFL ready.
How about the Crosby kid out of Oregon? He's the one guy I did not mention.
Yeah.
Third or second?
No, third or fourth.
Third or fourth.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not big on Crosby. He's solid. He got, he had some moments at the Senior Bowl.
I thought he was pretty good at the Senior Bowl.
He also got moments where he was just getting blown off the ball and getting beaten by the Oklahoma kid. I'm not really big on Crosby. I think he's more of a last day guy.
Tony, great stuff as always, my friend. I know you have Connor Williams of the Giants in round two.
Yep.
How about round one? Who do they pick?
Josh Allen of Wyoming. The reason I say Josh Allen is because I think that the Giants have what Josh Allen needs. Time and a good quarterback coach. Allen's got physical skills that some quarterbacks in the league don't have. I mean, he can make throws that quarterbacks in the league do not have. He's got can make plays with his feet. He's a good kid. I mean, people like him, you know, like his personality. The question is, can you coach him to be accurate? You got to work on his footwork, and he knows he's got to work on it. And I think with Pat Shurmur there, who's had success at the quarterback position, I think it'll be a challenge for Pat Shurmur. But again, I think that it could be Josh Allen because they got the time learning behind Eli Manning. They got the quarterback coach. And Josh Allen, if you hit on him, you talk about a generational quarterback, that's the guy. Granted, as we talked about, there's no guarantees.
Tony, good stuff, my friend.
Thank you, Tony.